Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. The Learning Center, here with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. Tonight, we get to wrap up Blindfold My Faith. So thank you all for joining us. Again, we want to remind everyone, reach out to someone right now. Get them on the line. This is an opportunity for them to share as well as for you to share. And also, don't neglect tonight to interact with us via message, via question that you may have, scripture, testimony, whatever it is. When the opportunity presents itself, please make sure you press *5. With that being said, let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I am wonderful, too, sir.
Good deal, good deal. So I do hope that everyone is prepared for tonight's call as we're talking about Blindfold My Faith. We've been talking about that all week, and it's been a great topic, a great message, something for us to definitely go back and just dive into and kind of learn some things about, because you have so many different areas that you can go with that topic, blindfolding my faith. And faith should already be blind according to the natural eyes, but the spiritual eyes should be wide open. But with that being said, Ms. Candle, why don't you open us up with prayer, please?
Certainly. Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for everyone who you've led this way to gather with us tonight, Lord. And we pray right now over each and every caller on the call tonight, Lord. We pray over the callers. We pray over the speakers that each person is going to speak in line with what you would have to be said over this call tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray right now that our callers are not afraid to speak up, Lord, and seek out the questions and the answers that you would have them seek for tonight, Lord. And we pray that as you bring us into this time of learning, that each and every one of us, Lord, walks away with the word that you have specifically for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and dive into the call. Y'all, tonight we do this open floor format, and we have Mr. DJ and Miss Tiana with us, you know, as I was saying, you know, hosts for the evening. Now, they answer questions, a slew of questions, whether it be from email, whether it be from a text message, just even a question that you may chime in and ask. It may not be a question. You may just want to divulge some information, a scripture or a testimony even. You know, see, here's the thing about tonight's call. It's not just questions. Please, y'all, it's something that you may be going through, that you have been through, and it's a testimony, you know, in accordance with the topic. So please don't hesitate to share what God has done for you and in your life, or something that you have encountered and seen in someone else's life. You know, we say that God is good, and we say that God is good all the time. I think that we should be spreading the good news, and the good news, a part of the good news is our testimony. Okay, the testimony doesn't necessarily have to be what you've overcome, but the testimony can be something that you've seen someone else overcome. Okay? I think that is very important that we do that, because other than that, you know, our faith is limited to what God does for us and not what he does for others.
Yes, sir.
All right. So with that being said, Mr. DJ, how are you this evening?
I'm feeling very wonderful. How about yourself?
Good deal, good deal. Mr. DJ, share with us a little bit about this past topic this week. You know, your words. What did you take?
My words. This past topic is very dear to me because I felt like it was directly involving me in every aspect of it. For one, just to share with, for those of you who don't know, I only have one eye. I was born with two eyes, and I had my eyesight, but I lost my eyesight completely. I was completely blind. And the Lord saw fit to give me my left eye back, and then the surgeon decided, okay, well, we could do the same surgery for the right eye. Well, he fixed the right eye, and I end up losing the left eye. So there's nothing. I don't look like Cyclops or nothing like that to be able to help the guy. But most people can't tell that that I only have one eye. And by me doing that, it has absolutely brought my faith closer. And that's what this topic is about. You know, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. There are a lot of things people always ask me, well, how do you do this? Well, how do you do that? You know, you should be, you need a cane, or you need a senile dog, or you, why don't you just tell people this? No, I don't like doing that. I want you to know me for who I am and, you know, for what I do. Not for here he comes. And typically, people that really know me know I do a lot. I do a lot. And actually, I do more now than I did when I had two good eyes. I'm reminded of the story this week, and I don't think I heard anybody mention it, but when Jesus called out to the man in the boat to him to walk. And he said, no, I'm just paraphrasing y'all. He said, no, you can walk because you pray. Like, you can walk on water. I ain't going to get out there, and I don't even know how to swim. And he said, come on. And the man took a step out, and he was all right, as long as he kept his eyes, and not his physical eyesight, but as long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he was fine. He turned back and looked at the boat, he began to sink. So in other words, I always often say this, you cannot walk on water hanging around people with staying boat mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have to be able to walk blindly for Christ. You have to be able, wherever he say go, you don't need to know the end result. You just be obedient and just do what he says to do. You know, and that sometimes that's good. You know, sometimes you get what we call rewards. But if you're being obedient, it's always going to be a reward. But you go in blind, you do what he says to do according to his word, and it'll all work out. So I just wanted to say that's what I got from it.
Thanks for sharing that, Mr. DJ. And then we have Miss Tiana. How are you, Miss Tiana?
I'm doing great, Mr. Carr. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Will you want to go ahead and share with us what you've gathered this week?
Sure. Amazing topic. And the thing that really stood out for me is that no matter what you're going through, the eyes have to stay steady in only one direction. The only thing that we need to be watching is watching God. Because when we sing out to him, lead me, guide me, it's not from it's like a guard dog, right? Lead me, guide me along the way. We're looking for him to take complete control in what direction that we're supposed to go. And if we don't do so, that's when we trip up. That's when we fall. That's how we stumble, right? So it is so critical that we not look to what we are going to do, right? In the word, it tells us if we have our own plans, how God laughs at them. Absolutely right, because it's all his journey, and we have to look to him to follow suit. So blindfolding my faith allows me to go through any and every situation. And just my testimony to share in that is, if it was all about what I planned to do in my career, what I had planned to do in my studying, I wouldn't be where I am now. I had to let go of many things. I thought I was going to be some major executive in the business world, et cetera, et cetera. That's not where God has me. I had to let go of that and allow him to guide me to where he needed me to work. And it's focusing on constantly asking him, what do you need me to do in this place? But leaving it to him to guide each and every step that I take. I find that when I step outside of what he's saying, that's when I get in trouble and have to be redirected to his path. So blindfold my faith has just been absolutely amazing, and that's what I took from it this week.
Okay, thank you so much, Ms. Tiana. So, y'all, with that being said, again, please have some questions. If you don't have a question, have a testimony, because we all do have something to share about how good God has been for us. This is not the time to be shy. Remember, the Bible says, if you should boast, if you're going to boast, if ever you think that you have the need to want to boast, boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. All righty? So, with that being said, let's get to some of these emails, if y'all don't mind. Ms. Kent, I'm going to let you start with our first email.
All righty. The question says, my friend turned her back on God because of a failed marriage. I've tried talking to her since then, but she always says she can't trust a God that would allow her marriage to fail. What can I do to help her to trust God again?
What can we do to help her to trust God again? Ms. Tian, I'm going to start with you.
Sure. That's an absolutely great question. The thing is, you personally can't do anything. It's going to be something that she is going to have to do. You can be a continued friend and friend of God and continue to pray with her, not just for her, pray with her, and remind her that God doesn't put anything in, God is who puts these things in order. A marriage under God's eyes is one that no man can put under, no man. So it's going back to the question, was this marriage in God? Because if it was, then it shouldn't have been one that ended in the first place. So be present for her, but this is something that she's going to have to build her relationship with God and come to that realization that he wouldn't give her more than she can handle, and he wouldn't put her in a situation that is not right for her. His relationships are the ones that do last. I hope that helps.
Okay. Ms. Candace, please repeat that question, and then I'm going to go straight to Mr. DJ.
All righty. My friend turned her back on God because of a failed marriage. I've tried talking to her since then, but she always says she can't trust a God that would allow her marriage to fail. What can I do to help her to trust God again?
Okay. I would basically do the same thing that Ms. Tiana said. I don't think there's any power within the person, but I would represent as that person's Christian brother and let them know, look, if you trust me, if you're listening to me, I would use that to my advantage to encourage and let them know that it was not God's fault in doing that. And I suspect that God wasn't in the marriage in the first place. I would let them know directly that, look, you know, if you turn your back on God because of this, I mean, what else? What other failures have you had, and how did she overcome them? And then that's when we'll start a dialogue about basically you need to first apologize and not turn your back on God. You know, the more you do that, you're getting further and further away. You know, that person may have been something that you don't need to be connected to. And if you wasn't equally yoked, then that was the reason why I failed in the first place. That's not God. You went before God and told him, this is the person whom you want to do X, Y, Z with. But it's that person that's supposed to come with you where you truly equally yoked. So obviously if the answer is no, it's a failed marriage. I don't know what the depths of it was, but I will let her know, you know, God doesn't make mistakes at all. You know, this is just a chapter. And what you need to do, you closing this chapter. That don't mean close the book. You never know. And, you know, that's chapter one. Chapter two, if you're going to miss out, don't close the book. You know, God is the author of the book. You need to keep going. You know, so I would just encourage her that way.
Okay. Did it help? Okay, did that. Hello?
Can you all hear me?
We can now.
Okay. I said it did. Can I have a follow-up question? I can anticipate the follow-up.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So if it's all on me, me being the person in the situation, to kind of foster that and redevelop that for myself, what if I don't know what to do?
Okay. If you don't know what to do, and again, you're coming to me as your brother, then I will help you to see what you must do. First of all, you can't turn your back on God. That's the main thing. You don't do that. I may not have all the answers, but I do know that's the main thing that we have to do, stay focused on the path. I know without him, he is everything. So without him, you have nothing, completely nothing. So my first thing would be to do is again, to help redirect your attitude and your thinking about God. See, right now, you're mad at all men because of this one man and not realizing God is not man at all. So I would just redirect your focus and your attitude and guide you from there. I would even so far go with you. I go to the altar with you from that kind of friend, you know, especially if you entrust in me. You're talking to me rather than talk to God. Yeah, we need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Yeah. And with adding to that, is building up that prayer language, building up that, you know, let's have that conversation with God. Let's pray together so that he is in this conversation, because I don't have the answers. All I can do is guide you back to him. I would help with if it's some specific scripture, just help with, you know, here are some other folks who have walked through this, but also show that I look at Jesus's life, right? All the things that Jesus faced, if the Son of God faced all these things while walking this earth, why shouldn't we? And understanding that in and through that, he was above those situations and showed continued examples of how he did that. But not only Jesus, because I can hear you say, well, that was Jesus, but show other folks in the Bible. The Bible is just rich of information that we could share and just tap into our own experiences and show how God has worked in and through those as well.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. Did that help out?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, here we go with the next email question. I'm going to start with you, Mr. DJ. It says, how can you trust God when you can't see any evidence of his glory? Didn't he say he would meet us where we are?
You can trust him by the simple fact that you can feel him. That's more truthful than someone appearing to be something and letting you down. See, God is a spirit. And he's undisputed. Either you believe in him or you don't. He is a spirit. He is a feeling. You cannot dispute him. You cannot say this isn't so because you can't physically touch him. But you can feel him on the inside. Oh, you definitely can feel him on the inside. But you can't, just as well as you know, anything that you pretty much can see from man has failed in some way or another. If you put all your trust in it, it's going to fail. But you have not found one person to prove that God is not real. So just think about that, first of all. He's undefeated. You know, and again, either you totally believe in him. I'm not saying put in 50% and then see if you can physically see the rest. You got to give him your 100.
Uh-huh.
You got to give him your all. You know, and he hasn't let us down. If you, according to his word, and believe in his word and in him, again, you can't just open the Bible in the middle and start reading. you got to read the whole thing. You got to believe in him wholeheartedly. And again, when you put the word in your heart, or that person in your heart, can't nobody take it away when it's on the inside of you. So that's what makes him so awesome. Because again, you don't have to see him. To feel his graces, you don't have to see him. See, if someone is showing me love, I have to see them. If it's a human, I have to see them. If someone claims to love me, I need to see. Most of us want to see what they look like. Depending on what they look like, we don't want their love. So you can't tell me whether or not God is black, white, purple, or polka dot. You can't tell me if he's short, tall, fat, muscular. You can't tell me any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's what makes him so awesome, because he's undefeated.
Okay.
Miss
Tiana, I'm going to say that question again for you. How can you trust God when you can't see any evidence of his glory? Didn't he say he would meet us where we are?
And that's what he does day in and day out, meet us exactly where we are. We just may not know what to look for. A lot of times when we're looking for evidence of God's glory, we're expecting something, some huge miracle or some sort. I love this question because actually just this last week I was looking at a show where someone asked that same thing. And what was awesome was the response. And the response came was, ask the question, what if? So just to give an example, The woman questioning this was nearly shot. This issue, that issue, a whole bunch of things came up. And her friend who responded to her quickly said, well, what if you hadn't gotten shot? If you hadn't gotten shot, you would not have volunteered at your mother's clinic. If you hadn't volunteered at your mother's clinic, you wouldn't have met this young child that needed your medical advice. The woman who got shot was a doctor. Wouldn't have met this young girl who needed your medical advice. And if you hadn't been at the clinic to see this young girl, you would not have found the medicine that had saved her. So God is working in so many different ways, but we may not, like I said, once again, don't know what to look for. But if you go back and trace those steps backwards, he has been right there showing you that he is present and putting you in and through situations that you yourself cannot even explain. So think about that and think about how he's gotten you to this point. Work those questions backwards, because you'll see him working in and throughout. His evidence is always present.
Okay. Blindfold.
Also, Mr. Carr, I'm sorry. Also, you can ask me. I'll tell you he's real, because if you don't believe me, just get sick. That's all you got to do. Get sick. Keep living. Keep living and get sick. There's going to come a time that you're going to be ill, and the doctor ain't going to know what to do. It ain't have to be anything terminal, but there's going to come a time where the doctor will say, I don't know. I went to school, but it's not in my hand. Now what you do? Now who do you turn to? One or two people can both be pregnant. One could have a perfect child, and one can come out not so perfect. There could be someone with cancer. Both of them have cancer and take the same radiation treatment. One could be cured. One may not be. So that right there should tell you, hey, something is going on that's a higher power other than man or what we can see. So that should at least get the conversation rolling right there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. All right. Let's get to it. Do we have any callers, Ms. Candy, with any email questions or anything, calling questions?
Yes, sir. We have two callers.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your comment for this evening.
Hello, good evening. The question that I have is, if I have prayed long and hard for years for something and still have yet to receive it, is it okay to be disappointed, or does that suggest I am not allowing my faith to be blindfolded?
All right, I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana.
Can you repeat that? I want to make sure I got some of those words that you just said.
Yes, ma'am. It states, if I have prayed long and hard for years for something and still have yet to receive it, is it okay to be disappointed, or does that suggest I am not allowing my faith to be blindfolded?
Okay. So, first of all, if you're praying long and hard for something and still have not received it, then it's not for you in this time. We can pray all we want. Whether God is healing is whether or not he's going to answer those prayers. He's going to answer for the things you say, yes, he reigns on the just and the unjust, and he gives the things that we continue to ask for, but he knows what's best for us. So if it's something that you have not received yet, it's not for you, and at least not right now. He may have it for you later on, but that's being patient and trusting in him to deliver upon it. So you not being happy with that, that's on you. But you have to be patient in Christ. You have to be patient and allow him to work through, because we have to be okay with his yes and his no's. We have to have faith in whatever he is saying. So right now, his answer to you is no, and you got to trust that no is what it needs to be. I hope that helped.
Okay. Mr. DJ, can you repeat that question for Mr. DJ?
Yes, sir. The question states, if I have prayed long and hard for years for something and still have yet to receive it, is it okay to be disappointed, Or does that suggest I am not allowing my faith to be blindfolded?
I'm saying that you're not allowing your faith to be blindfolded. And I'm also saying faith without works is dead. You can have all the faith in the world. If I have a house or even an apartment and I don't have no job and I'm like, Lord, please, 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 I need to pay these bills. I'm going to probably be outside. I'm going to probably get put out. That's not on God. I can pray, and God, instead of sending cash like what we want, we expect them to just show up and say, here you go. He may send me a want ad or a text message about a job or a person who has a company who's willing to give me wages that start at minimum wage. But we say no to that. We don't want to do that. I ain't trying to be no janitor. I ain't trying to go and cut down, cut grass and trees, but not realizing you got your answer. You don't like the form in which it came, but you got your answer. But instead, you're behind us up on the bridge now because you still sitting up here hollering about faith and you ain't did nothing. What I'm trying to tell you is you got to put some works into it too. He's not saying just rely on him totally and don't do nothing. But what I'm saying, you have to have some works along with your faith. So it, you may have some disappointments here or there, but the answer may, if it's been years, either it's something that you're not ready for, something that may have come in another form that you need to deal with, or simply no. No, you don't need this. A prime example, and people laugh when I say this, I think I'm the richest man in the world, not because of money, because of my family, because of my heart, my love, the people that know me. That's what makes me rich, my relationship with God. Now, let me find out I done hit the $500 million lottery. I wouldn't know how to act. I wouldn't go out and just go buy a new car and go spend money frivolously. But at the same time, I probably would buy something dumb that I don't need, which is probably the reason why I don't have that money. And many of us think we would have that money, but what you don't realize is more money, more problems. So why would he give you that if you can't handle the little $100, $1,000 that you make now and cover your bills, why would he give you more? It's like, you know, what's really going on? For those of us that deal with people or know people who need organ transplants, your name goes on a list. Let's say I want a kidney. My name goes on a list. They're not going to just give me a kidney. You have to prove that you are going to do what you're supposed to so that you won't be in a situation again. In other words, you're not going to waste the kidney. What they do is they put you on the list, you go on dialysis, and then you have to have tests every treatment, and they measure you. Because if you're going to go back to doing what you used to do that caused you to your kidney to malfunction in the first place, then no, they're not going to waste that on you. You have to show some proficiency. Same thing to God. Exact same thing to God. You don't just say, well, you know what? I know I'm sitting up here doing this wrong and that wrong, but if you give me this, I'll stop doing it. Do you know anybody that's ever said that? Or I tell, Lord, if you just get me out of this one time, I promise I'm not going to get back. And then you find yourself right back in that situation. So what I'm saying is you got to have works with that faith as well. You got to do your part. So, no. I hope that helps you a little bit.
Okay. Mr. DJ, I got a text message that said, where did you have, find that scripture, more money, more problems?
that's the book of Faith Evans. That's the book of Faith Evans.
All right. Ms. Latoya, can you repeat the email question right quick, please?
Yes, sir. The question states, if I have prayed long and hard for years for something and still have yet to receive it, is it okay to be disappointed, or does that suggest I am not allowing my faith to be blindfolded?
See, when your faith is blindfolded, you shouldn't be disappointed. That's the time you step up, you amp it up a little bit. Now, you can choose to sink or you can choose to swim. In other words, you can choose to approach God or you can choose, see, here, I want to go this route. Miss Candy, can you read Isaiah 38, 1 through 5? We've all heard this passage before, but I just want to bring it back to life right quick. Isaiah 38, 1 through 5, Miss Candy.
In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. "Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life."
See, here's the thing, people. Can't put a mandate on God. So it's no need to be disappointed. Because at first sight, God know maybe to see where you are at with your trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beautiful thing about God. God say, "Remind me of my word." See, here's the thing. God say, "No," but you also have the right to say, "Hold on, God. Remember this, that, and the other." See, you're not challenging him. You're reminding him. See, a lot of times we can't remind God of what we don't know.
Amen.
Let me say this again. Hezekiah faced that wall, and he ain't moved. He faced the wall. The prophet, God told this man, Isaiah, to tell Hezekiah what was about to happen. He faced that wall and did not move. He didn't reject God's, messenger, but he reminded God of what you had promised me. See, I've done A, B, and C. He didn't break. And because of that, and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Do you think that was a ploy that God had to change his mind? Or do you think that was orchestrated by God's plan?
Orchestrated.
The thing is, the Bible says that a righteous man will fall several times to get up. When you're blindfolded, okay, it may not go the way you want it to go. God very well may say no. Long as you stay in order, Hezekiah never got out of line with God. All he did was remind God of his word. But you can't remind somebody of something when you know you haven't put in the work.
Amen.
I don't think y'all heard that part. Let me say that part again. There's no need to be disappointed. You understand? See, when somebody talking about they're about to come and get your vehicle, no. I'm going to show everybody. I paid my bill. You got my bill right here. I ain't even mad at you, but I want to show you what I have. I paid my debt.
Yeah.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
So even if God say no, remind God. Remind God of his promises. Now, I don't mean he's going to change his mind with a no. But if you're in line with God, his no can be the final answer. But in the same token, you kind of know that, hold on. Nah, God, because you promised that I was going to complete this thing. So if I'm going to complete it, I know it has to be more to this. So let me remind you of your word, God. But again, you cannot remind somebody of something when you really don't have a close relationship with them.
Yes.
So there's no need to be disappointed when God says no. You might want to get to reminding him. But again, do you have any arsenal in your bank account to remind him of? In other words, Mr. DJ just put it. What have you done? You said you weren't going to do that again. So what have you done to remind him? Make sense, people?
Yes, it does. Yes, sir.
Okay. Because of that, look what Hezekiah said. Hezekiah said, I have been faithful. He said, remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully. To walk in God faithfully, meaning that your faith, the natural faith, has to be blindfolded.
Mm-hmm.
With wholehearted devotion. That means I wasn't partial. I gave my all. Mr. DJ just alluded to that. When he didn't half step, Hezekiah did not half step. See, the only time that you can approach a sovereign God like that, is that you got your business together.
Amen.
You can't call on your mama. You can't call on your daddy to come and help you when you dealing mano a mano with God. Where's your evidence? Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
There's no need to be disappointed when God says no. Because, see, when you have a real good relationship with somebody, they know you don't have to talk them out of them, but please do explain when I've done everything you've asked me to do. Why are you still saying no?
All right.
It makes sense, people?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because if you saw it, as a matter of fact, God knew that Hezekiah could have slipped into disappointment because he cried. Did he not say? Bitterly.
Yes.
Huh? He wept bitterly. Bitterness is not a part of God. God knew which direction he was going. So he pushed Hezekiah to the brink of his faith.
All right.
The natural eye, it looked like God changed his mind. But to the spiritual eye, we know that God is not a man to where he shall repent nor apologize. That means what he set out to do, it wasn't a mistake. He didn't change his mind. It was a part of his action plan.
That's right.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, good. All right, here we go. Next email, we have another caller?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your comment for this evening.
Yes. My question is, do miracles fall under the category of faith that has been blindfolded?
Say that one more time.
Yes. Do miracles fall under the category of faith that has been blindfolded?
Okay, do miracles fall under the category of faith that has been blindfolded? Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
Absolutely, yes. 1,000, that's what a miracle is. Something that is not normal according to man or according to knowledge. Mm-hmm. We may call a miracle someone paying for you or you got some money back. That's not a miracle. A miracle is when Jesus took the little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 people, or turning water into wine. There's no way possible through science, through man's knowledge, that you can take water, H2O, hydrogen, one part, two parts of oxygen, water, and make wine. That's not possible. That's only a miracle. So that's the only time miracles occur is when God tells you to go and wash seven times in the river, he don't mean six and a half. He don't mean six and three quarters. He means seven. So you have to have faith and discipline when it comes to any type of miracle that he provides for you. So I say absolutely yes.
Okay. Good deal. Now, Mr. DJ, we got some callers raising their hand with some questions. Somebody text me, but I'm going to let them actually go ahead and get that call on real quickly, Miss Candy. They had a question for Mr. DJ.
Okay. Give me 1 second. Go ahead, caller.
Hello. I have a question for Mr. DJ. You said something just now in your response about the little boy, his lunch.
Correct.
Where can I find that in the Bible?
Now, I don't know the exact scripture. I don't know the exact scripture, but if you give me a minute, I will get you the exact. I'm paraphrasing about how he, you know, took the five loaves of bread and two fish and fed the multitude. I just called it a lunch. I just paraphrased called it a lunch. But that,
DJ,
that
you
is,
good, man. We ain't going to mess with them. The devil be trying to mess with you. That is lunch. That's some food. That's dinner for some people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's right. We got to keep it fun on the phone, y'all. All righty. Same question, Miss Tiana. Can caller, can we repeat that question for Miss Tiana?
Yes. The question is, do miracles fall under the category of faith that has been blindfolded?
Yeah, that's the only faith that's going to see the works of God. Mr. DJ gave some great examples. Some others is when Jesus told Lazarus to get on up. We see it day to day when doctors are saying, you know, there's no cure for this. There's no way that you're going to come out of this situation. You better get your quote-unquote affairs in order. And lo and behold, with the faith of God, only by faith, God is right there present and saying, yep, nope, I'm the great physician, and I say when it's time. We've got to realize that only faith that's blindfolded is the one that's going to truly believe and trust that God can get us in and through any situation. So yes, do miracles fall under the category of faith that has been blindfolded? Absolutely, they do.
Okay. Paula, could you repeat that question?
Yes, I can. Do miracles fall under the category of faith that has been blindfolded?
Let me give us a definition of miracles. Do miracles fall under the category of faith that has been blindfolded? The definition of miracle is God's intervention in humanity, nature, and history. Sometimes translated as signs, wonders, or mighty acts. Miracles carry out God's purpose or reveal God. Okay? God's intervention. Anybody know what intervention is?
It's stepping in. It's being there for
when they need to assist, right.
Stepping in to assist. God's intervention in humanity, nature, and history. Here's the thing. So the miracle, as I've always stated, y'all remember what I always say? Miracles are for who?
For people who don't believe.
Miracles are for the unbeliever. If God has to intervene, that means you didn't receive it. In other words, if Miss Tiana is giving, you know, a lecture to Miss Candy and I, and Mr. DJ has to intervene, it's because Tiana's way was over our head. So he said, hold on, Miss Tiana, I got this. He has to intervene. In other words, they can't receive you. Let me break it down to them in baby format. A miracle is God's intervention into humanity and nature. That means you couldn't receive God, so I got to give it to you in baby food. Y'all, the miracle is not for the believer. When did Jesus ever get hyped up about a miracle? Jesus just went on about his business. You know who gets paralyzed by miracles? The person who didn't know it was going to happen. The people who didn't think it was going to make it, DJ, are the people who are mesmerized. But the people who knew you would make it, that ain't nothing but a thing.
Amen.
So both the answers were absolutely, and I'm going to say absolutely not. A miracle does not fall into the category of faith that is blindfolded. Because if our faith is blindfolded, I don't need a miracle to receive it. Y'all gave mention to Lazarus. I'm glad you did. The Lazarus healing, did you know that Mary Magdalene and Martha, Mary and Martha, they was weeping? And Jesus said, why? He ain't doing nothing but sleep. They needed the miracle to heal their natural flesh. They thought something he was done. God said he's sleep. See, God, the miracle was for Mary and Martha. He already knew that Lazarus was going to get up. Who was the miracle for? For the unbeliever.
You don't need a miracle when you already believe people.
Oh, my.
Y'all heard the definition? It said a miracle is also a mighty act. The hand of God is already mighty.
Mr. Chicago?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to add something because it makes me think about the difference between saying that we believe God and actually believe God, because
right.
when the things have to happen in the natural, it shows us our unbelief. It's not showing the power of God, because if we believed God just for who he was, we wouldn't have to see somebody be healed to believe that God is a healer. But we get into the mindset of, I know he's a healer because he healed my sister last week or my cousin last year, instead of, I know he's a healer because that's a characteristic of him. So a lot of times we're thinking about who God is, or we think we're thinking about God is, but what we're thinking about is what God does, and it doesn't take faith for us to say, Tiana was healed last week. All it takes is Tiana to say that. But if Tiana is never healed, he's still a healer, and that's the point that we have to get to.
Y'all see it? Well, people would deem Saul, who was crooked, killed Christians, blindfold my faith, as a miracle. It was not a miracle. It was a part of God's plan. It's a miracle to us because if he can use old dirty Paul, he can use old dirty us. But here's the thing. Be careful when you do that, because then miracles will fall in your eyesight under the category of faith that's blindfolded. See, that's when we start judging people based on their past. For every officer that arrests somebody and do something wrong to them, they pull their past to go against them. Wow. But we don't know the officer's past because they hide this. But regardless of your past, the miracle is for the unbeliever. We say that, woo, they got off, or woo, God changed Paul. No, the thing is, Paul had the wannabe, but God can't change something that was already in him. The man had God in him. It just took for God to stir it up. The miracle is for the people who don't see God in other people. Lord, have mercy. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. When you don't see God in that person, you can't stand. And then when they finally do get up and write and get their own church or something like that, or they get on their feet and stuff like that, and you be like, God got to be real. God was real because, you see that as a miracle. God sees that as just me handling my business. It was in them. But because you didn't see me while they was torn down and tore up, what makes you really think you see me now? You don't see me. You just see my work. You don't see me.
All right.
There's a difference between seeing God and what God has done. Two different things, people. We get mesmerized by the miracle, but we don't get mesmerized by the person who created it.
Amen.
You see miracles, that means you got to develop a closer relationship with God, because you shouldn't be seeing miracles. You should be expected ending stuff. My faith is blindfolded, so I see an expected end. Why would I be excited about 2 and 3 gems? Y'all say, ooh, that's a miracle. Look where he took it from. I see that's God a plan. Man, where's the next one going to be at? I don't have time to be boasting in that, because God did it, God can give it, God can take it. It don't matter. What's next, God?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. So the miracles are for people who can't see God in the spirit, so they got to see him in the natural. Come on, Lazarus, because if they saw God in the spiritual, why Mary and Martha was crying?
Mr. Carr.
Yes, sir.
I just got a text, and I'm glad you just said that back to Lazarus. It was said to me that Mary and Martha had known Christ to do miracles before. Yes, that is true. But if you really understand what Mr. Carr is saying to that person, they were crying because they had sent for Jesus before Lazarus passed, when he got
yep.
sick. They said the only person, and this supposed to be his boy. This was his friend. They were like, hey, bro, your boy, I'm just paraphrasing, your boy is sick. You need to come and do this. You need to come and heal him and make him better. So they knew that he did miracles. They knew he performed miracles. But what they thought was that there was nothing else after death because they had never seen him have that power over death. So imagine putting on your good suit. You done paid the undertaker for a funeral because that's what they were doing. They was in a funeral process. And he stopped the hearse. Hey, man, come on out of there. So that's just, you know, that definitely is a miracle. But I'm saying that's what the unbelief was, because they thought that, you know, because he had already passed, and that's it, that he didn't have any power. It wasn't so much that they didn't believe that he could do it. I mean, not believe that he does miracles, but they didn't know he had that kind of power, which is to your point, like you were saying, you know, don't get caught up in the miracle, but look who he is, you know.
And with that, I just wanted to jump in and say, because of that, Mr. DJ, I'm glad that you brought the whole forefront of the story out, but because of all of that, it goes back to they were looking at the different things that he could do, but they did not believe him to be the Son of God, because if they thought he was the Son of God, then it would have been a whole totally different response.
Exactly. And I appreciate those callers with those questions or those comments or those commentaries, because we have to have that great dialogue, because I'm all for that. But see, here's the thing. When you get all for that, you got to come to the table with open minds. And I'm talking about open mind to receive the truth. Here's the thing. You have different levels and different in everything in life. You have people that know how to cook, and then you have people that know how to cook good. I'm talking about G-O-D-T, good. It's on a whole other level. Y'all follow me? You have people who believe in God, and you got people who are sold out in God. So in other words, y'all got to hear this. When you sold out in God, I don't need the miracle. I accept what God gives, and I know what God can do. Hello, somebody.
Oh.
I don't think y'all hear me. See, the miracle is when, you know, your team make it to the finals, and they wasn't supposed to make it, and they win. But the expectancy is when I plan at the beginning of the year we're going to win. See, we talk about winning the championship, but when we get there, we're crying. Man, I ain't crying because I got to do this next year again.
Mm-hmm.
It's an expectation. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. See, I don't think y'all hear me. At one point, let's go back to the scripture we just gave earlier. This is good, y'all. I love this. We just talked about Isaiah and Hezekiah, huh?
Yeah.
The reason why Hezekiah, Lord, y'all got to hear this, he didn't fall out when God extended 15 years to his life. He didn't fall out because he had a great relationship with God. He said, I've been faithful and wholeheartedly serving you. So he knew what time it was. He didn't fall out. It wasn't a miracle. It was an expectation. How you know it's an expectation, Mr. Carr? Because he talked to God and he told God verbatim. Y'all saw it in the Bible. The miracle is when you don't have conversation with God. You just throw your, God, please, please, Hail Mary, Mother God, please help me out. See, now is a roll of the dice. Did anybody see Hezekiah call it a miracle?
No, sir.
Huh? It's not that God did not, to the caller who asked Mr. DJ the question, it's not that God did not perform other miracles. The thing is, if God keep on performing miracles in your city, that means there's a whole bunch of city of unbelievers. I don't need a miracle when y'all already expect.
Amen.
It's just like if you have two children. If you expect both of them to do good, just because they made straight A's, somebody else may say, God, hallelujah, that's a miracle. But to you, I trained them up their way. We got greater things to do. That ain't nothing. Hello?
All right.
You say, miracles? He absolutely did perform miracles, but look at who he performed them on. See, you got to know who you are talking to. In other words, who said it was a miracle? Because as close as Mary and Martha was, did y'all notice Mary, not his mama, but Mary Magdalene also loved Jesus in an Eidos type of way. She wanted a relationship. But it's mighty funny how God couldn't have a relationship with something that he's not equally yoked with. Hello, somebody. Because if she was on God level, why was she weeping in that situation?
Yeah.
Y'all follow?
Yes,
so
sir.
It does not category of blindfolded faith miracles. Because a miracle don't need your faith to be blindfolded. A miracle just needs for your eyes to be opened, and then you can see the evidence of God. Your faith don't have to be blindfolded. As a matter of fact, you don't have to have no faith in order to see a miracle.
True indeed.
Y'all, if you think I'm lying, the people who followed Moses, it was a miracle to them. It wasn't a miracle to Moses. Same act, perceived differently. Moses didn't say it was a miracle because he did what God instructed. The people was complaining and said, you could have left us with Pharaoh to die there. They didn't believe, yet they still reap the benefits of a miracle in their eyes. Hello.
Truth.
Amen.
So,
Mr. Carr, is there such a thing as a blindfolded faith miracle, or is that an oxymoron?
I think that's an oxymoron.
Okay.
I really believe that's an oxymoron, because if your faith is blindfolded, okay, that means you're walking under God's tutelage. That means I absolutely move when God says move. So if I hear God's voice, I don't need the evidence of sight. See, miracles are for sight purposes, the natural sight. Because I don't need a miracle. Remember, there's an intervention of humanity. Humanity means natural flesh. That means he intervenes in the natural to get to you. So you can't have a spiritual thing and talk about it falls under the category, or the natural thing falls under the category. No, it don't. They don't.
Let me ask,
there's nothing wrong with the miracle if that's where God is going to reach you. Just know you got also levels that you can actually get better in. Let's just say that.
Okay. Let me ask you one more question. With blindfolded faith miracles, so with King Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew boys,
okay,
you know, their faith was blind, and they would not bow down at all. They didn't know what was going to happen, and they got put in that fiery furnace, and they didn't even flinch. And they came out of that thing alive. As a matter of fact, they said it was so hot that it burned the guard that put them in. So would that be would that be what the caller was talking about, that type of miracle?
Again, it's a miracle too. Look at who is a miracle too, because Nebuchadnezzar said, who is this God? See, he still questioned God. Now he starts to believe because of the evidence. It was not a miracle to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Meshach and Abednego, okay.
So the uncompromising word would never, I understand what you're trying to get at. I mean, I understand the caller trying to get at, but I'm not about to compromise the word of God and tell them that it's okay. It's not. Nebuchadnezzar saw the miracle, meaning because he was a doubter. But the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it wasn't a miracle. They kept calm. They was good.
That's what they normally do. So the miracle basically benefited the king because he fell and started worshiping God. I got you.
Let me put it this way. Y'all, let me make it very plain and simple. In your greatness, DJ, you're great to us, but to yourself, that's just average, because you expect so much from yourself. So what we see as greatness, you see as average. So what the human sees as a miracle, the spirit man who's in God sees as, man, that's just what God wanted.
Gotcha.
It's all about where you are. So if you're in God, it's not a miracle. If you're outside of God, it is one. I know that challenges a lot of folk, because you can't tell me I ain't in God and I don't see miracles. Well, if I have an expectation, it's not a miracle. I expected him to do that.
Exactly.
All right. Any email questions? Any other callers? That's it?
No, sir.
All righty. And that will be it for the night, y'all. Look, so, Mr. DJ, okay, I'm going to follow up with this last one for you. The question is, what's the difference between racism and sexism? Can anyone truly be in God with a faith that hinges on race or gender?
No, they can't. The difference between, by man's definition, racism is the division amongst and prejudices amongst the different races. Sexism is more gender-based. But to answer the last part of your question, and can you repeat that last part? Make sure I heard it correctly.
Can anyone truly be in God with faith that hinges on race or gender?
No, you cannot.
Oh, yeah. Nice answer. That's
no,
it.
You cannot because it's a spirit. Yeah. No, you cannot.
That's it.
Because a spirit does not have any race, sex, or any of that. You don't know any of that.
That's what it is, y'all. That's it. Simple. Simple, simple, simple. I mean, straight to the point. And, Miss Tiana, I want to add this to what Mr. DJ said because he answered it straightforward. That's right. He's absolutely correct. Here's the thing. When you say blindfold my faith, I want everybody to hear this. Everybody, hear me clearly. Racism is not just detrimental because racism is not just black against white. It's also black, white against black. It's also black against white. But racism is also within your own race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that's one thing, okay? Blindfold my faith. But here's the bigger picture I wanted everybody to see. Everybody, please hear me and hear me good. Racism is also the same thing as sexism. See, you know how women are always saying, and this is God's honest truth now. Let's put it out there. And even men, okay? Wrong is all outdoors. When we always give credence to our gender as if there's not an opposite side. What a man should do. If he's not doing this, that, and other, if he's not, bop, 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 boom, 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 but nothing ever applies to you. That's just as worse as another race or white individual telling a black person what you Negroes should be doing. It's the same knife stab.
Yes.
Do y'all hear me? Racism and sexism are mano y mano. They're on the same plane. Your reasons for sexism, thinking that men are above women or that women are above men, are just like somebody of an opposite race thinking they are above you.
Indeed.
So it needs to stop because we cannot operate, you just heard Mr. DJ, in a truthful, wholehearted relationship with God and tell God to blindfold your faith, yet you have a problem with the other race, or you have a problem with the other sex. No matter how much they've done you wrong, what have you done? I'm not saying what you've done wrong, but what have you done to better the situation?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says no murmuring or complaining. As soon as you start putting your mouth on something else, that's called complaining and murmuring. Okay? So I know it's the tutelage. I know it's the thing. You know, even when it was Mother's Day, men talking about, well, I raised mine, so y'all going to tell me happy Mother's? Sit down, bro. Don't work like that. And vice versa, for Father's Day, you are not a father. I understand the position and the role that you played, but let's keep it simple and plain. Give him, whether he was there or not, the respect to say happy Father's Day. Because remember, when you were still yet a sinner, God gave you what you didn't deserve, and he got on that cross. Regardless of you leaving him or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
If you can't understand that, you need to ask God to blindfold your faith a little tighter. Let's go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ.
Dear Father, as we come to the close of another call, we want to say thank you. Thank you for the knowledge that has been provided, that we have nourished on. Help it manifest in us and grow, Father. And not for any credit, shape, form, or fashion, or flash, but so that we can go about telling the world and telling others about you and your Son and your will. You said, Father, if we will lift you up, that you will draw all men unto you and help us to do just that, Father. Keep us on the path and, Father, help us not to stray too far. I ask for spiritual peace and also ask for blessings and grace and mercy in our travels, Father. And help at the appointed time to bring us back together again on one accord to lift you up again. I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I do want to tell y'all this, okay? DJ, you don't do the King James version, do you? You have another version?
Yes, I do, the King James.
Okay, so DJ has the King James, and, you know, his edition of the Bible is a little different from ours, but it still has the same love effect. Okay? I'm telling y'all, because y'all laugh. He said lunch, and he said other things, but get where DJ is coming from, in all seriousness. Okay? Because what's more important than you knowing it verbatim is that you understand the impact of what God is saying.
Amen.
That's fair? I'm serious. So DJ, continue to be DJ, and he don't have to help. I don't have to tell him that because he's going to do that anyway. Okay? So even if he quotes some of Faith Evans, we'll find it somewhere. We'll make sure we can find it. All right? Y'all have a great night.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.